Now, this Marvin is a false Marvin. They show up sometimes because I change things around and I forget to get rid of it. But this is a lying Marvin. All right, this course is all about two things. How do we acquire new knowledge and how do we evaluate new knowledge? When I say acquire, remember, I'm not really talking about acquiring. I'm talking about planning the study to go get the data. It's all of those decisions, all of that framework, all of that network, all of that art and craft. On the flip side of that is when somebody brings you their art and craft, you have to evaluate it. So the validity is the same whether you're a producer of research or a consumer of research. You got to know that stuff because that's how we evaluate validity, which is just another word for right or wrong, or if you prefer, quality. So if this is all about knowledge, wouldn't it be nice if we had a taxonomy of knowledge? And there are. There's a book that's this thick. It's one of my favorite books, and it's called A Theory of Data. It is a person's entire career as a psychometrician and a cognitive scientist figuring out what are the kinds of things we measure and how we measure them and how that leads to the analyses we do. Okay, it's one of my favorite books. I'm going to bring it down to three categories. Descriptive knowledge, predictive knowledge, and causal or understanding knowledge. Because it's just about enough to get us through. It allows us to sort someone's intention into categories, and the way we evaluate their art and craft, the way we build our own art and craft, is strongly tied to what we're trying to get. So it's all about acquiring and evaluating knowledge. We're going to use these three. So descriptive information, descriptive knowledge, is first of all univariate. We're talking about one variable at a time. We're talking about being able to measure that variable and discriminate that variable from similar others. Whether you're measuring a characteristic of a person, something out of that person's history, or you're describing something about a situation, or that situation's history, you need measures to have data. And so we're going to find that descriptive knowledge sits at the base of everything else. If we can't agree how to measure things, we can't have data on those things, and we can't be a data analyst. Damn it, that's what we're here for. And it's just an example. Predictive knowledge. This is the most common kind of knowledge on the planet. Knowing how to use the amount or kind of one behavior or characteristic to predict the amount or kind of another behavior or characteristic. First, we have to find patterns of relationship. Got excited. So, not that I would ever use a lecture to try to shape your behavior as a member of the class. But there is a substantial relationship between number of practice tests and performance on the exam. And the idea is, if someone did 5 practice tests, we're not going to guess that their behavior, their outcome is in this whole range. It's more likely to be in this narrower range. That's all we mean by prediction. I can use one piece of information to make a better guess about another piece of information. That's it. Doesn't sound nearly so spiffy when you put it that way. But it is the most common type of information on the planet. Let me give you an example. There's a piece of paper. It's on the web and apps now, but there's a piece of paper that is a simple collection of bivariate associative predictive information on which we bet billions of dollars every hour. You know what it is? Tide tables. The piece of paper that says how deep the water will be in the harbor and the approach to the harbor at different times of the day. Without that, we're going to make mistakes. It's not causal information. Nobody randomly assigned and manipulated the phases of the moon, the distance to the moon, the time of day. It's just a collection of information and noticing that there's a relationship and using that relationship. Associative information is the most important kind because it's what we have and use most often. Understanding, this is the biggie. Knowing which behaviors have a causal relationship, learning what the causal relation is so you can change the value of one variable and produce a change in another. Let's be honest, that's what we want. We don't want to measure stuff. Measuring stuff's cool. We don't want to predict stuff. Predicting stuff's cool. We want to change shit. We want to be an active, positive source in our universe. When did this start? Well, according to the poets, it starts immediately. According to developmental psychologists, it is at least traced backable to that first time that somebody put you in a high chair and then ignored you. And you learned that if you took that cereal and that sippy cup and you shoved it off the little tray, someone will pay attention to you. And you have learned, I am a causal force in my universe. In any causal relationship, there's a cause and an effect. And whenever you're looking at variables, you got to be careful and make sure that you have nailed cause and effect, because it's sometimes surprising. For example, test score and number of practices. Sounds like I'm going to look at the number of practices and predict how well you did on your test score. Because I'm hoping that if I can predict from it, I can then manipulate the number of practices and get a better score. Okay? But it's also entirely possible that I look at your test on the score, I look at your score on the test, and use that to try and predict how much you're going to practice for the second test. That one's harder to manipulate, right? Although I'll show you ways. Nobody's sneakier than social psychologists and education people. They have figured out how to manipulate stuff. Oh. All right. Before we go into this, I have to tell you, I have to remind you of something very important. You know this. Remember Blue? Blue's Clues? Right? Blue's Clues? Blue is this little cartoon dog that's with a real person. It's some of the early CGI kind of stuff. And Blue makes a lot of noise. Blue always answers Steve. The real Steve. Not this line of pretenders since. But you can't understand what she's saying, but you know what she's saying because she always has the right inflection and number of syllables. So they're doing a skit on the three little pigs, and Steve, with his wolfy mask on, says, little pigs, let me come in. And Blue, with her piggy mask on, says, not by the hair of my chinny chin chin. I am going to have slides that I am going to invite you en masse to answer. No Blue's Clues. Give me the word. Say it out loud. It's called recitation. It is the second best way to put vocabulary into your head. Okay? And I think it's fun. I think it kind of wakes us up. We're working on things together. We're saying things out loud. It's good. Do you know what the one way to learn vocabulary faster than recitation is? How did most of us learn the alphabet?
Recitation.
Singing. A, B, C, D, E, F, G. And if I could put this course to music, I would. But I was a drummer. We don't really do notes. All right. This is a frickin' word game. That's all it is. This is a word game. There's a word in here that tells you whether this is attributive, associative, or causal in intent. Let's play. I want to know if I can anticipate student scores on exam one from performance on their homework assignments. What kind is it?
Predictive.
Yeah. Good trailer. Predictive. What's the word in there that tells you it's predictive? Bingo! That's the game. Now, problems with the game? There are differences in standards and vocabulary across research areas. Sorry, I can't do a damn thing about that. But I can build up a set that's likely to get you started, and then you can fight with people. Because we like that. I want to construct a score that indicates how well each student prepared for exam one. What's that?
Descriptive.
Descriptive. It's only one piece of information. What's the magic word?
Construct.
Indicates. We construct all kinds of things for all kinds of reasons. Indicate tells you I want a score for something. I want to know whether I can improve your scores on exam one. That's all we really need. What is that one? Well, it's the one we haven't said yet. But I will invite you to act like you don't know what it has to be and solve the problem. What is it?
Understanding.
Because improve implies cause. And that's really the issue, is sorting out the associative words and the causal words. When you have disagreements, bring it up. An important thing about understanding, when you say you understand something, you understand cause, you have to know that it really is that behavior that's the cause and not some other behavior. Just because two behaviors are related doesn't mean that one is the cause of the other. Here's one of my favorite examples. If you pick a city and measure across the year, or if you pick a date and measure across cities, you tend to find a relationship either way between ice cream sales and violent crime. Do we think one causes the other? Probably not. I'm just as happy walking out of Baskin-Robbins as walking into it. There's a lot of noise today. Guy. Also, height and weight. Lord knows I've tried to grow by eating. And I grew, but not higher. All right. The preferred way of acquiring knowledge is hypothesis testing. We don't just grab up a bunch of data, bang around in it for a while, and say, ooh, truth, love, and beauty. We do, but it's called data mining. Oh, yes, I'm sorry. Oh, you are the bomb.